Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is part two of the topic, Your Origins. And today's date is Friday, October 15th, 2021. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 again. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tirzah. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue and after their families in their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, and Sapta, and Raamah, and Saptica, the sons of Raamah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, Calne, in the land of Shinar. You know, the land of Shinar is where rebellion began. And Nimrod was the leader of it. But he wasn't in it by himself. You can't just rebel. People follow rebellion. And you'll notice these names in other scriptures. These are the cities named after these people. All right, verse 10, the beginning of his kingdom, Nimrod, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calne, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asshur, and built it Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah, and Resen, between Nineveh and Calah, the same was a great city. Now watch this, verse 13. And Mizraim begat Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrusim, and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim, and Caphtorim. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Now, they're called Canaanites because they migrated there, but many of them. But watch this, verse 14. And Pathrusim and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim and Caphtorim. So the Philistines, their original name was Philistim. All of Mizraim and all of his children, the suffix of their name was I-M. The Nephilim, now I touched on this in part one. The Nephilim are the fallen angels that step with the daughters of men, and they produce giant offspring, which caused a lot of trouble in Genesis chapter 6. To the point that the Lord had to flood the earth. Now they knew of the flood. And they, you know, the daughters of Mizraim. Now this is, see, it didn't say, it said Mizraim begat Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, and Naphtuhim, Pathrusim, and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim. And Caphtorim. Now, The fallen angels must have had relations with their daughters. We have evidence for it. Remember Goliath, the giant that David had to kill? Giants were common. When they first went to Canaan land, they said, this place is, the people were like grasshoppers in their sight. They had huge people there because they practiced this. It took people of God to drive them out. When Joshua began, he had a job on his hands driving those Canaanites out of their land. It wasn't easy, but God was with him. David, you see how David took out Goliath without a flinch. Goliath was 10 or 11 feet tall, if you measure by the cubits. And remember, Egyptian cubits are longer than Hebrew cubits. I think Hebrew cubits is 18 inches, and according to Ron White, Egyptian cubits is 20-something inches. So, I don't know which measurement they would have used, but anyway, he was much taller. He was, you know, he was high. He was way above David. And David killed him because the Lord was with him. David wasn't afraid. People of covenant don't have to fear anything. If you got covenant, you got authority. If you got authority, you can win. We talked about that in part one. But remember, Goliath's word, he cursed God. These giants, their father was an angel and their mother was a human woman. And that's how it always was. And they were huge. And they were strong and fast. His spear was like a weaver's beam, now the reason for all this, I want to point out something. Rebellion don't just pop out of the air. It has an origin. And these people, God loved every one of them. But they did some mischief. And these happen to be our ancestors here. And see, I thank God that he didn't just wipe them out. He worked with us. David had covenant with God. He knew the importance of covenant. He knew the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He loved God. He wrote Psalms. He related to the Lord. He didn't just see God as the guy to get me out of trouble. He knew him. He had a relationship. He knew that what he was doing was important. And the Lord gave him vision. He even wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit here on my right hand." He had a revelation of Jesus, a partial revelation, if not a full one. Now, he knew that God was up to something good towards all people. It's even noted again when David built the tabernacle, he made it where everybody could come, not just Jews. Now, I thank God for good teachers that do research. My pastor, Jim McCann IV, he's the pastor now, but back when he did the youth, and he was youth pastor, I remember him talking about the tabernacle of David, and he pointed out, and he did good research. I love people that do research. I love the Bereans. I love people that study the Word. See, Gentiles couldn't go in the temple, but they could go in the tabernacle, and David built that, in the tabernacle, the Gentiles were able to go. Now, see, he had revelation that people, God loved all people, not just Jews. See, pride would have you to believe that God loved you, your family, your race, and that's it. That's not God's heart. God loved every family, every kindred, every tongue, every person. Even Nimrod, even Hitler, he didn't hate them. They chose to be evil, and God had to deal with it. And some of these people happen to be in our ancestors. That's how it is. We came from one of three of Noah's sons. Or, my wife did a DNA test for me for Christmas. She gave it to me one year. And I had ancestors from Africa and Europe. So sometimes all three may be in our lineage, you know. And God has all of this written down. And over time, we're going to live forever. We'll have time to know all of our ancestors, all the way back to Adam, all the way back to Noah, and all the way back to Adam. And I thank God for every... See, if you get in strife with people over something Satan did, that's not fair. Satan is trying to mess us up, and he used with people that were that love power. Power, lust, and greed. That's how he get people messed up. Through their weaknesses, hurts, and fears. Because of their lust for power or desire or greed. That's the monster. The world's John pointed it out. It's the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's what baits you into the world in the first place. And also, because you can't have one of those three things, you get angry. Because you feel deprived. And so that'll work too. Bitterness. But see, when the love of God just it helps you drive all that out. Perfect love drives out fear. Wisdom can help you drive out foolishness. Knowledge can help you drive out ignorance. See, you have to have what God is saying. And you have to want it. Now, some people, they can hear the same words you hear. They can hear they grow up in church. They hear the word and they ignore it because they love the world somewhere. And some people fall because of curiosity. Now, I've seen people in a good, you know, I grew up in a good home, but some things I was curious about, and that held me back. That kept me from going forward in the Lord. I could have been learning of God all along. But I thank God. I appreciate God helping me come out of the world. That was a time I could have went either way. But I had praying parents. And then I had vision. And I wanted what was right. I watched a movie one time. I remember watching movies that was fun to watch and also horror movies. And one day I said, I don't like horror movies. I don't like evil. And then, and I'm a sinner still. I didn't get saved yet. I saw a man. It was a movie. I was watching. And the man was on the beach. His wife got sunburned, so she went to the hotel. Then he went back on the beach, and started having a desire for this single woman on the beach. And then he had an affair with her. And his wife was in the hotel room hurting. I got so angry, I left the room. I didn't want to see it anymore. That made me mad for a man to betray his wife like that. So, God, there are things that people desire that's right, just like you can desire something wrong. But betrayal, I didn't like. And I didn't ever want to be like that. But when I was tempted, I had to be tempted because that was something I hated. So, but when I felt tempted, I went to the Lord about it because I didn't want to give in to temptation ever. I saw how people kept doing God wrong and God was trying to do man right. And I said, not me. I don't want to be that way. But when I was tempted, I was angry because I didn't want to be tempted and I didn't know how to drive it out yet. And I talk about that in other broadcasts, so I'm going to proceed now and go on with something else. You have in the church world, people don't like to admit defeat, and that's a problem. Paul pointed out that we're all tempted. You know, your brothers are tempted just like you. Your sisters are tempted just like you are. People are tempted with people, and people are tempted with different things and for different reasons. But Satan has to tempt people that don't want sin. That proves that salvation works. See, if you love God, if you've been saved and you've been healed, and the healing process of salvation begins the day you believe on Jesus Christ. When people believe on Jesus Christ, they don't go looking for sin. Sin comes looking for them and try to chase them down. And people act like everything's okay when they're steadily being tempted, and if they get too weak, they're gonna fall. And then when they fall, they get upset because they fail. They didn't want to do that. They go to the pastor crying, and they don't understand. They don't have the knowledge they need to go forward. I know how it feels to be weak and feel weak. It's not a good feeling. But I cried out for help from God, who know how to help me. Sometimes pastors and preachers, as wonderful as they are, of themselves, they don't know how. But when people come to you hurting that way, that's the time to yield to the Lord. You can't just give a person your personal advice. You have to. God had to show me in a way that I could understand to deal with this corruption. I didn't want to be tempted with it, but I didn't know how to. And he taught me how, through love. Love is the way that he taught me. When I learned to love, he had something to show me. Now, if he would have told me what I know now in words, I wouldn't have been able to relate to it right. The Holy Spirit knows us personally. He's the perfect teacher. No matter how wonderful a teacher you may have, and all the wonderful pastors out there, and I love them. I love all pastors. The Holy Spirit can teach you in a way that you can understand it, even if you don't know the word yet. And that's what I experienced. He gave me a concept that I could relate to, and I acted on it. And that's how I overcame the temptation. Satan would do his worst, and I'd laugh at him. I came to a point that I would literally laugh at his attempts, but I took it seriously. I always took authority over it. Even though I could laugh at it, God brought me to a point that I could laugh at his attempts to tempt me. And I could laugh in his face when he would tempt people to tempt me. Or anything I could see through it. See, when God is formed in you, you won't sin because God is formed in you. Once you have the knowledge of God in an area, now you can master it. Now, then there are other areas that I still hadn't mastered yet or hadn't been challenged in yet. But when it happens, I know what to do. I do what I did. I always do what I did when I didn't know what to do. I spoke that I knew what to do. I believe God for my answers, and I confess with my mouth that I have the answer before I have the answer. And I always get the answer because the Holy Spirit is always with me. He's in me and upon me for service. So we don't have to yield ever to the things of the devil. And if you are weak, God will always give you a way of escape. And he did that for me many times. When I was too weak, he gave me a way of escape. And I knew it was a way of escape, and I took it. I'm not bragging. That's just what I was motivated because I loved Jesus. And I felt miserable because of the temptation. I didn't like it. But when you take the way of escape, you still have peace, and you can always grow beyond your years. Now, one situation don't define you. You're just going to have to master your life through the Word of God. I'm pointing something out. Now, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, they all went through the same thing, the same storm. They were spared in the flood that killed everybody else, all the giants, all the animals. Nothing alive but them, the fish and the animals that was on the ark. And here we go with people still doing the same thing that got them in trouble in the first place. Now, these people happen to be our ancestors. So the darkness is there. The root of sin is there. And it's in our DNA until we get born again. And from there, we have to renew our mind. That's why I'm bringing this up. That's why the Holy Spirit pointed this out. These are our origins. But you can break through it. No matter how wicked our ancestors may have been, at some point in time, we can break through the darkness that they gave us. Because God make people out of people just like he make fruit out of trees. So when we look to Jesus, our DNA changes. We change. We're made new. We got a brand new heart. Now all we got to do is renew our mind, because in the oldness of our mind are the seeds that came from them. We just don't need it in our heart. As long as it don't get in our heart, we're clean. But if we don't renew our mind, the temptation that happens will be a snare to us and an aggravation. You have to drive these folks out of your mind, their deeds, their ways, their appetites. See, all your appetites can be made new just like your spirit. And I wish that more preachers would teach it that way. But, you know, if you're dedicated to God, you can. But if you have a love for the world, you can't. And if you have lack of knowledge, you can't. So our hope is to yield to God all the time and have a steady hunger for what's right and pursue it. And see, then you can overcome every evil desire that's out there that you inherited through these folks here. Okay. Let's go with 15. Verse 15. And Canaan begets Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite. See, the Amorite was a problem too. But they were more honorable than the rest of the enemies. They had to, their sins had to be full before God could take them out. And the Havite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite. And afterward were all families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest from Gerar unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah and Zeboim, unto Laish. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, and in their countries, and in their nations. Now watch this. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even unto him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. And the children of Aram, Uz, Hul, and Gether, and Mesh. Okay. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons, and the name of one was Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Remember, in Genesis 1, if the water was in one place, and so was the land. But see, in the days of Peleg, that was when the earth, the continents divided. All right. After the Tower of Babel, when men divided, then the land divided. The earth always does what people do. And they proved to God that they couldn't be trusted to live in one place, because somebody would take over and the enemy would make a one world nation. And so after the Tower of Babel, man divided everywhere all over the earth, then the land divided. And that was that. All right, and Joktan begat Almodad, and Sheleph, and Hazar Maveth, and Jerah, and Hadarim, and Azel, and Dikla, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophar, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Okay, one of Shem's sons' descendants was Havilah, and looks like there was another Havilah in the lineage of Ham. Okay, we'll research that later. All right, and their dwellings was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So we know that the Lord chose Abraham. Out of all the people he could have chose, he chose Abraham to make a covenant. And we got somebody of faith to be the ancestor to those that would be in covenant with God. So we'd have a representation. And in Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." We talked about that in yesterday's broadcast. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You see how God is. The people that did wrong and did evil, for whatever reason, God is going to bless somebody in their family anyway. And I thank God for all of these. He didn't just wipe out somebody because of what they had done. He put in a viable plan of action to save us through Christ. Now, when you break through, whatever hinders you, go to God and break through. Always win. Have a mind and a heart to always win in God. Always do things God's way. The ancient evils of old that people had to overcome is there. But as we overcome, we take up after our parents. When people started believing on Christ, they started winning, but they still have to, you have to break every barrier. You have to break through the ancient culture, the culture that you live in. That's the heart. That's what's around you now. And it's probably worse than what came out of old. Then the religious culture. There are problems in the religious world. People, even those that sincerely love God, you know, people only, they break out. It's not easy to break out of culture, especially if you're doing it with your strength. But if you do it in His strength and God's strength through Christ, you can break through every form of satanic culture. So the desires that used to bother you, you can break through them. And my dad, my parents, they did well. I believe they were sincere in all that they knew. And I pointed out in yesterday's broadcast, they didn't break through. They didn't learn how to fight spiritually, like I know how to fight spiritually. And a lot of people of that, they didn't. See, when one generation, we break through through life, and we get as far as we go. But our children, they got to know to keep the heritage going. See, I told my son, I said, if you pursue the Lord, you can receive everything I know. You've been raised by me, and you can hear my words, and God's going to pick you, take you from there, and go forward, and go even further. Every generation can come out stronger. Jesus said, "He that believes will do greater works than me." This is our heritage. This is what I want to see people do. But the pride of man will say, they want people, they like attention on themselves. That's evil. I want people to do better than me. I want the next generation to do I want them to do better in an exponential multiplier way. Because when you pursue the Lord, you can learn things. I learned things beyond my years, and nobody would believe. I knew that people wouldn't believe the things that I entered into. Only a few people that I know personally, I was able to explain it. But most people, I would want to explain it, but they wouldn't. They, you know, I was a nobody, you know. But if you come from a well-known college, or you were taught under a well-known man of God, people will listen a little bit better. But see, the Lord don't care about status. He want to see if his people will love him for who he is. And notice his words in the mouth of babes. See, everybody that speaks, they're not going to always be well known. It's the person that draws near to the Lord and have a relationship. Like David, who they left out in the field tending sheep when the prophet came to anoint one of Jesse's sons. That's how people are. That's how the religious order did the same thing that Samuel did, but it wasn't his fault per se, because they left him in the field. He was just a ruddy kid. And they didn't see him as king quality. But the Lord told Samuel, men judge after the sight of the eyes. I judge after the heart. So a lot of people out there that really love God and have a relationship with him, the status quo won't listen to him. Because of culture. And because they look for people to be a certain way. But God is looking at the heart, and God always looks at the heart. If the real people of God have a dedicated heart. And I'll close with this. These are our origins. So always break through. The Lord will take you where you need to go. He loves you. And you don't need anybody's approval. You don't need anything with anyone. Always remember, we're complete in Jesus. Now I'm out of time. If the Lord is not, he'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and stay in victory.